And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I missed you all. I really did. Really did miss me on the air. But I can't. I've got to be careful now about saying how much I might have missed it, because I was with my wife celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary. So needless to say, that tops even being on the air. Folks, that's why I've been married for 49 years. I'm no fool. We had a wonderful time. My wife loves Lion King, and we've seen it. It's been about 20 years. We've seen it about 3 times live, and we wanted to see it in Norfolk, which is not far from where we live, and we just weren't able to do it. My schedule just didn't permit it. And I made myself a promise that I was going to take her to see Lion King if I had to go all the way to New York City to do it. So that's what we did. And she loved it, and she's happy, and she's happy, I'm happy. So I thank God for 49 years. And the only thing I wonder, how in the world did she put up with me for 49 years? But you know what? God is good, isn't he? And his grace and mercy endure forever. Amen. Well, I'm your host here on The Awakening on American Family Radio. Glad to be with you. Remember, we are not only on over 180 stations around the country, but we also can be heard live on AFR.net every day, 24/7. So if you know somebody, you're listening on the radio, but you know somebody who's not in a listening area or they don't know what radio station to tune into, just tell them, go to AFR.net. Click on the live streaming button, and they can hear the programming right there. It's a wonderful thing anywhere in the world. If you know somebody, for example, who's gotten orders, they're in the military, and they've gotten orders to go overseas, you can tell them, look, you can still tune in. You just go to use your smartphone, use your laptop. You can still listen into the program. And by the way, if you are you know somebody who is listening overseas or somebody in the military who's listening, please let me know that, because I like to recognize our military people. I really appreciate the tremendous job that they do. I was reflecting on that, in fact, on my Facebook page, reflecting on that yesterday or day before, how grateful we are to our armed services, our first responders, police and firefighters. And on 9/11, while everyone else was running from the danger, they were running to it, and many of them sacrificed their lives trying to help their fellow citizens. And we should never forget that. My church does an annual Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast to bring people together across racial and cultural lines. And after 9/11, we began to recognize our police and firefighters and sheriffs. And we've done it every year since, because I said, I do not want to wait for some tragedy to happen before saying thank you, before saying we appreciate you and we honor you and we are grateful for the very difficult and dangerous job that you do. And while they are always criticized, if there's any hint of any mistake, they need to know that there are citizens out there who appreciate them and love them and pray for them and understand what they're doing when they get up every day and put that uniform on and walk out into the streets or make a traffic stop, not knowing whether that will be their last moment of life, because they never know who they're going to encounter. So God bless them. We've been doing it ever since. Well, interestingly, so because my anniversary is on September 11th, and I decided this for the first time, my wife and I were reflecting on this, we've never been away from home during our anniversary. It's the first time we've done something like this. And obviously we got to visit the World Trade Center, the former where the World Trade Center was. It's now called the Freedom Tower. And we got to visit that. And we've been to visit the memorial to all the people whose lives were lost during that terrible attack on our country. But folks, something interesting happened, and there's so much to talk about today, and I don't know whether I'm going to get to all of it, but I've got to get this out. And if I jump into something else I had in mind to talk about, I won't get this out, so I got to get this out. I don't know how many of you listening to me have been to Freedom Tower. We had already seen the memorial, but we had never been to inside Freedom Tower and actually gone up. And so this time we actually visited Freedom Tower, went all the way to the top, to the One World Observatory. And it's, folks, it's spectacular. There's no question about it. You can see New York and New Jersey. I mean, you can basically see the entire city around you, and that's how high up you are. But you know, I had an interesting insight while I was up there, and you're going to probably be shocked to hear this, and because I was shocked to walk away with this insight and troubled by it. Are you ready for this? Because folks, I don't make this stuff up. So, you know, we're up at the top, and of course, there's a restaurant up there, and there's of course, a gift shop up there. And, you know, we're walking through the gift shop. My wife likes to shop. I'm not a shopper, but she enjoys it, so I'm walking around with her. And something suddenly hit me. And you know what it was, folks? I did not see a single tribute to the United States of America, to our armed forces, to our first responders, to any of what it took to withstand that attack and then to come back from it and produce the Freedom Tower. Folks, I'm serious. Because once I realized I wasn't seeing it, I started looking. Well, maybe I'm just missing it. It wasn't there. There was not a single tribute to the United States of America anywhere in that gift shop. Nothing. Do you know what the theme of the whole thing is? And everything you find in there, guess what the theme is? One world. I'm serious, folks. One world. Not the United States. Nothing about the United States. We found two shirts that had American flags on them, and those shirts that had American flags on them didn't mention the United States of America. They didn't say America anywhere on the shirt. It simply said New York. And it had a flag in the background. So there was that. There were two shirts like that. But other than that, nothing with the American flag on it. Now, if you go up there and you may say, well, no, Bishop, you missed this. But we looked around pretty thoroughly because I was looking, because I'm thinking, wait a minute. There's got to be something up here that acknowledges the bravery, the sacrifice, the tragedy that happened, and the courage and the inspiration and the energy that is taken to build a monument that in some ways is even greater than what the World Trade Center was. I mean, this building is magnificent. Only in America, folks. Only in America. I think it's the tallest building. Oh, I forget. Well, you know what? Let me not mistake the case. I'll look that up. But it's one of the tallest buildings in the world. That's for sure. It's one of the tallest buildings in the world. And folks, nothing in there that recognized the bravery, the virtue, the sacrifice, the courage of the United States and its people. Just one world, one world, one world, one world. There's something wrong with that picture, and I'm going to talk about what that is when we come back. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
While reading yet another article about gun violence and mass shootings, I came to the conclusion that most of us aren't sure what is true and what is false. For the next few months, we'll be talking about and debating policies. It's worth getting the right facts on the table. First, violent crime has been decreasing for decades. Although I read this in many places and even say it on radio with some regularity, many people wonder if it's true. According to the National Crime Victimization Survey, the homicide rate is about half of what it was 20 years ago, and gun-related death rate is about half as well. Second, a large percentage of gun deaths in America are due to suicide. In previous commentaries, I've cited statistics from the Center for Disease Control. Look at any year and you will find that gun suicides outnumber gun homicides, often by as much as 2-1. Third, you are unlikely to be a victim of a gun-related homicide unless you live in a dangerous area or engaged in dangerous activity. John Malcolm describes four factors correlated with gun homicides. First is location. As I've mentioned in previous commentaries, over half of all murders occur in 2% of the nation's 3,000 counties. Second, those murders are often associated with gang activity and drug activity. Third, most of those victims are males between the ages of 15 and 34. And a fourth factor is a dangerous partner. One law journal found that people recently or currently involved with abusive partners were much more likely to be victims of gun-related homicides. These statistics, along with these four factors, remind us that gun violence is not uniform throughout the country, nor is it likely to surface in safer neighborhoods or around safe, law-abiding people. That is why any solution to gun violence needs to focus on those areas and people who are indeed dangerous. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Athletics and life teach us common benefits. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Whether you're working on that golf game or improving your average on the baseball field, you can learn life lessons. But more importantly, you can learn spiritual lessons. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross just so that you can have a personal relationship with him. Receive Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior and enjoy the ultimate prize of eternal life. Then you can do what Hebrews 12:1 says. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." A message from American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. At the Democrat debate last night, Joe Biden talked about record players and nearly lost his dentures. Beto O'Rourke says he's coming for your guns no matter what the Second Amendment says. What is a well-regulated militia anyway? And Speaker Pelosi sticks a fork in the impeachment talk once and for all. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, follow me closely because I don't think this is at all complicated. I think it's fairly simple, but it may seem a little attenuated. But I want you to follow me closely. Look, about 3 million people a year visit that tower. 3 million. Now, you think about that. That's a lot of people. Over a 10-year period, that's, what, 30 million people minimum. Those numbers could clearly increase. But all of those people who visit that tower get a message. And the message is not about the United States. The message is about the importance of, quote unquote, one world. That's what they call it, the top. They call it the One World Observatory Tower. And I'm convinced that this is intentional, that this is not some sort of accident that somebody just came up with some sort of cute phrase because they thought it would be unifying and all of that. I'm convinced that this is intentional. They wanted to downplay the importance of the United States and enhance the importance of thinking of ourselves as part of one world. And I'm convinced of this, and I don't know who was the moving force. You can rest assured there's probably some leader or small group of leaders who were responsible for moving things in that direction. And they were undoubtedly leftists, because if I'd been part of the decision making, I would have never allowed that theme to be the theme of the Freedom Tower. The Freedom Tower, one world. I mean, are you kidding me? The theme would might have been America forever, but not one world. Folks, something happened very, very significantly back in the earlier part of the 20th century. A Marxist theorist, and you've probably heard the name because I know my audience is very informed, by the name of Antonio Gramsci, came up with a theory which he called cultural hegemony. Cultural hegemony. And his theory basically was that Marxism needed to be rethought in terms of how you go about creating a Marxist or communist culture or communist country. And his theory was that you don't do that with violence. What you do is you have to undermine and reconfigure the cultural norms of a society. I mean, he's a communist, and in figuring out how, because here's his theory, that capitalism is not upheld by force, it's upheld by cultural hegemony. In other words, there are ideas and values that people hold to voluntarily that help maintain a free market system and economy. And that if you want to subvert that, you first got to subvert the cultural hegemony which upholds it. Not go in and attack people violently, not go in and try to overthrow the government, but you got to overthrow the culture, if you will. That's my phrase, not his, but that's in effect what he's saying. Cultural hegemony. And folks, Antonio Gramsci is behind what we had came to know as multiculturalism. Well, certainly one of the thinkers, he wasn't the only one. Multiculturalism, cultural relativism, obviously communism posited moral relativism, because communism put forth the theory that there's only one thing that's right, and that's what furthers the communist revolution, and one thing that's wrong, and that's what subverts the communist revolution, and everything else is up for grabs. So lying, stealing, cheating, killing is all okay as long as it furthers the revolution. The end justifies the means. Gramsci comes along and says, well, wait a minute, the same is true with regard to culture, that you need to get in and flip things so that the belief system that upholds free markets is destroyed or replaced with something that calls for something else. And folks, it has been more pernicious and poisonous than communism itself, this methodology. Because, for example, critical theory, critical race theory comes out of Gramsci's thinking. Critical legal theory comes out of Gramsci's Marxist thinking. High criticism of the Bible comes out of Gramsci's Marxist thinking. Folks, the idea that he posited, that what you do is you get in and you undermine the cultural norms and the institutions that maintain those cultural norms, and you supplant those with a different way of thinking and a different value system, and you prepare people for Marxism without firing a shot. Okay, well now, Bishop, what's that got to do with the Freedom Tower? Well, remember, folks, one of the fundamental principles of communism is one world. Workers of the world, unite. What communism posits is the decline of the nation state and the rise of globalism so that all the workers of the world unite into a single dictatorship of the proletariat over the entire earth. Yeah, that's the end result that communism seeks. And I go to the Freedom Tower of my own country and go up, and all I see is one world, one world, one world, one world, one world. What? One world? And it would be different if it were mixed in with other stuff, you know, stuff that said, you know, God bless the United States of America, and you know, by the grace of God, we rebuilt, or God, you know, I mean, whatever. I saw none of that, folks. None of that. It's as if it were sanitized out of the picture. And you're supposed to go up there and not think about your own country, but think about the world. One world. Well, folks, that is right out of the Marxist playbook. And that is in line with Antonio Gramsci's theory that what you do is you undermine the cultures and you undermine the institutions and the cultural values and norms that those institutions propagate. Which means you take over the colleges, you take over the universities, you take over the schools, you take over the entertainment, you take over the journalism, you take over all of those institutions that communicate values and norms, including the family. Yeah, one of the things is you subvert family identity as they've known it. You diminish that and you replace that and you supplant that. And you create institutions that propagate collectivism rather than individual liberty. And folks, if you think about it, the whole LGBTQ movement, they're way out there on the left, and that's exactly what they're propagating, a collectivist mindset. It's not about individual liberty. We know that. They hate individual liberty. They want everybody to yield. And folks, I found it disturbing because I expected to go in there and see a lot of patriotic stuff because it was Americans that they attacked. It was America that they attacked. It was Americans who died. It was American firefighters and police officers who gave their lives. It was Americans who crashed United Flight 93 rather than run the risk that that plane would hit our White House. Yes, our White House, not President Trump's, not President Obama's, not President Clinton's, not President Bush's, not even President Lincoln's, but our White House. And they gave up their own lives rather than allow that to happen. And there was not a scintilla of recognition of any of that. None. I mean, don't you find that just weird? Well, it's not weird in the sense of happenstance. It's weird to me in the sense of being an engineered situation, something that was chosen, something that was intended. Get rid of the American patriotic conscience. Get rid of the notion of being a nationalist. Get rid of the notion that our country is something special, worth preserving, worth celebrating its uniqueness and the virtues and the values of our people. Get rid of all of that, and let's think of ourselves simply part of one world. Well, folks, I don't know what you think of that. It's the kind of thing that's happening unbeknownst to most of us. I mean, how many people even know that? How many people are aware of that? How many people has that been brought to their attention? I believe precious few. So, and folks, it's part of a whole subversion across the board. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Who knows how much is at stake in the decisions we make every day? We decide to do something which seems so small, and it ends up shaping our whole life. I chose one day to become a Christian. I never realized when I made that choice how far-reaching the effects would be. It didn't seem to be such a earth-shaking choice at the time. I just looked at the options available as a way of life, and the Christian faith made more practical sense than any of the others. I'm old enough now to know that that decision was the wisest choice I ever made. Because of my Christian faith, I've been able to fit together the pieces of life's puzzle. I was in a big city recently, and while there, I watched the people who walked the streets. There were three young people who were cursing loud and clear, threatening to kill another person they knew if such and such a thing happened. I walked past the bars, and they were crowded. The music was loud, and the booze was flowing. Supposedly, the people who were there, they were there to have a good time. But you know something? That sure looked like a miserable way to have a good time. I spoke to a few people I met on the street. A few spoke back. Most ignored me. Some looked at me as if I was rather crazy for offering a smile. Every person is what he is because of the decisions he has made. Of course, each of us is influenced tremendously by others in the decisions we make. But in the final analysis, we do our own deciding. As I said before, we hardly ever realize the range of effects that our decisions will have on our life. We choose this or that. We go one way or another. And when we do, it brings us a certain kind of life. It is wise, as we travel along this road of life, for each of us to have a destination picked out where we wish to go. Then each immediate decision which we are called upon to make can be made in light of the destination for which we're traveling. Unless we do this, our immediate decisions can be totally unrelated and we'll not have any idea where we'll end up until we are already there. Each of us will have to go on making decisions, for this is a part of life. This process, decision-making process, it's a part of life. And after we make our decisions, then our decisions make us. Like I said, no one ever knows how far-reaching the effects of a decision will be. I made a decision one day to follow the way. It has affected my life more than any other decision I have ever made. And the longer I live, the happier I am that I did.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, folks. The number here is 888-589-8840. I'm curious how you feel about that. I just find it disturbing, but it is symptomatic, isn't it, of what's happening in our culture. Antonio Gramsci's thought process and theory was adopted first by the University of Birmingham in Great Britain, but has since infiltrated much of the theorizing and scholarly work on culture since then. And as a result of that, we've got Antonio Gramsci cultural thinking and frankly, the use of his theories by the left in our country, because, again, he was a communist, and this was his theory on how communism could ultimately subvert free market capitalism and end up taking over countries and cultures. You subvert the culture from within. And folks, I think they followed the Gramsci playbook, and I think that's what I saw playing itself out at the top of the Freedom Tower. The Freedom Tower for America, but not celebrating America, celebrating one world. What's wrong with this picture? One other thing, and then I want to come to the lines and give you all a chance to comment. Over the last couple of days, I've caught a lot of flack because one of the things that I've said, and I'm talking about from the left-wing media, one of the things I said was that normal people, I said this I think Monday or Tuesday, I said normal people find homosexuality disgusting. And of course, Right Wing Watch and a bunch of other left wing rags just went crazy. And so I just thought I would clarify a couple of things. One is, I offer no apology for that sentiment. I believe that's the sentiment of an overwhelming number of people in this country, but they have now been intimidated so that they cannot say it. Because if you say it and you're working for a company, you say that and you are going to likely lose your job. You say it and you're in business, you may have your business come under attack. You say it in almost any circumstance. I don't think you'd be able to say it even in public school without or college without being accused of hate speech, okay? That's hate speech. But I want you to notice what I did not say. I did not say that I find an individual homosexual disgusting. I did not say that. I said I find homosexuality disgusting. Let me make it the distinction this way, because I realize the left, because they're, frankly, most of them are not very bright people. If they were, they wouldn't think the way they think. No, seriously, they're emotive people. So, for example, I have expressed my utter contempt for Bruce Jenner's behavior, and the situation I've used is when he stepped on stage with one of his daughters dressed in a sweet, and he dressed in a sequin dress beside his daughter, her dad, beside her in some kind of sequin dress. I find that behavior disgusting. However, Bruce Jenner as a human being, I love, and I pray for him. He needs to come out of that. But I find that behavior disgusting. I think it is emotionally and psychologically abusive to his children and grandchildren. I think it sends a horrible message to society in general. I think it's confusion. But I love him as a person, and I want him to be saved. I want him to come out of that confusion. I want him to repent and try to help his family get back on track. I mean, yeah, they're making a lot of money, but what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So the money doesn't really matter. You know, they're not going to take any money with them into eternity. They're going to take who they are on the inside as human beings. And frankly, that kind of obsessive, selfish, narcissistic behavior in the face of all that it does to those who come behind you is absolutely horrific. I mean, I can't imagine what his grandchildren must be going through, particularly the males. That's your grandfather? Well, yeah. Well, why does he look like your grandmother? Oh, you're obviously a hater and a bigot, and you've been educated the wrong way. You see, men should characteristically, if they don't see themselves as men, they dress like women. That's my grandfather, mother. I mean, yeah. Even trying to get it out, folks, is trying to say it. At any rate, I'm not disgusted by any human being, because every human being was made in the likeness and image of God, and God loves them and wants them. But I am disgusted by certain behavior. I mean, is that a distinction that the left can understand anymore? If someone has a child who's caught up on drugs, you find the behavior disgusting. You're not disgusted by your own flesh and blood inherently. You still love that person. You still want that person. You may even be in a situation where you can't be around them, but you still love them, because it's the behavior that is disgusting. Now, they do it enough, you start to associate the behavior with them. That is true. But that's more psychological and emotional reaction. You know that they are not their behavior, because people can become separated from their behavior and can become something else, right? So I've met homosexuals delivered from homosexuality. So the human being is not what is disgusting. It is the behavior that is disgusting. And yes, I stand on that. It is disgusting. But by the way, is it just an ad hominem for me to say disgusting? Is that some you're just being mean? Folks, I looked up the words that the Bible uses, particularly in Romans chapter 1, but there are other places as well. But I'll just go with Romans chapter 1, where it says, God gave people up to a reprobate or debased mind. You could easily interpret that word as disgusting. One of the words suggests to go beneath what is fitting. You know what I mean? To sink to a very low point. And I mean, I think that can reasonably be interpreted from Scripture as disgusting. And you know, it's not the first time the Lord has expressed himself that way in his word. Remember, the Bible says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I would spew you out of my mouth. Would that you were hot or cold. Well, that's another way of saying it, isn't it? I'm disgusted with someone who is neither hot nor cold, will not take a stand, will not stand up, will not represent me, will not have the courage to say that they're associated with me. So I'm not just picking ad hominems out and throwing them out there. I have a biblical worldview. And I think a biblical worldview is one that says homosexual behavior is disgusting, okay? And you can find that in the scripture in Romans chapter 1. So if you want to get mad, they want to get mad at me and all of that, and that's fine. I mean, I'm a big boy. I can take it. But what they really need to do is understand that they're really angry with God. They're angry with his word. They're angry because homosexuality is condemned in the word of God. And that's what makes them really upset. Because my position is simply based on what the word of God says. Let me see while I'm talking. I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. But let me see while I'm talking if I can grab these scriptures. Because I highlighted a couple of them so that I could be sure. Oh, yeah, here we go. In the 26th verse of Romans chapter 1, it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Vile means dishonorable, disgraceful, reproachful, shameful. It, isn't that the equivalent of disgusting? But it's not. No, it doesn't say the person. It says the passions, the things that the person is doing and wants to do. It says God gave them up. Those persons who were behaving with vile passions. And the word debased or reprobate, it says, and as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind. That word adokimos, it means something that is beneath what is appropriate, that does not stand the test, that is spurious, that is worthless, that is rejected, that should be cast away. Okay? So I just put that out there. I'm not looking to get off the hook, but I just want people to understand that it's not Bishop Jackson just making stuff up because I want to be mean. I'm pointing out what the Word of God says, okay? And I think from what I've just said to you, the Word of God says homosexual behavior is disgusting. It's not just disgusting to E.W. Jackson. It's disgusting to Almighty God. But he still loves that person and wants to deliver them out of it. Back in a moment, and then we'll take your phone calls.
I just held her and just let her cry on my shoulder. I remember very vividly where we were standing in the moment and just holding her and just saying, let's figure this out.
So when your spouse is upset, do you try to fix the problem or just listen? Dr. Joshua Straub on Focus on the Family Minute describing a moment when he chose to listen.
In the back of my brain, I'm going, I gotta fix this thing. Yeah, it's that man, that male, like,
you got two conversations.
Yeah,
going on.
Yeah. So in the back of my brain, I'm going, okay, what do I got to do to fix this to get my wife to be happy again so that we can all be happy? But it was important for me in that moment to realize I had to be emotionally safe for her. I had to help her as one flesh, as her partner, as her teammate. I had to figure out a way to sit with her because I knew I couldn't fix this. This was something we had to fix together.
Being emotionally safe for your spouse is a key to a stronger marriage. And more insights from Dr. Straub at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, Frank Turek, co-author of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Please join me, Stephen Meyer, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Chip Ingram, and many more at the 2019 SES National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 11th and 12th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Whether you're new to apologetics or a seasoned veteran, you will walk away better equipped to engage the culture. Online sales end October 8th. For tickets and details, visit conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I've kept you all waiting long enough. Let's go right to the telephones. We've got Rob from Arkansas. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Bishop. First of all, I appreciate your service to the country, and I appreciate you taking a stand for Christianity.
Thank you, sir.
So I have some questions to ask you about your visit to the Freedom Tower. Do we even know who owns the building?
You know, it's interesting you'd ask that because now I've got a lot of questions about that. Now I'd like to know who owns it, who set the thing, the theme, and all of that. So I do not know.
Right. So my curiosity is, does George Soros have a hand in this? Because you know, you said that you visited the gift shop, and you found nothing that represented the loss of the victims, the representation of the U.S. United States of America. All you saw was T-shirts of One World and whatnot. Okay?
Yep.
Yes, that is communism. Okay? And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, sir, is I appreciate your commentary about what you were talking about, homosexuality. I have a daughter of mine, the oldest daughter I have, she claims to be a lesbian. But what we also forget is not only did you say that it is disgusting, but it's also an abomination according to the Bible.
Exactly. And look, and I'm sure you love your daughter, right? You love your daughter.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell her, I tell her, look, you have to make the choices what you make, but I can't tell you what to do. You're going to have to answer to God. I can't answer that for you.
So amen.
That's what I've got to say, and I just appreciate where you stand, brother.
Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate your call. Thank you. And folks, I had a lady approach me one time because she said that her daughter hated me because she was told that I was a hater. And I talked to her, this woman, for a long time. I happened to be campaigning this years ago, prayed for her, prayed for her daughter. And she said, well, I wish she could have been here to find out just who you are. But you see, they don't understand our love because our love is unconditional. But just like with God, the fact that God loves us doesn't mean he's pleased with what we might be doing at any given moment. The fact that he loves us doesn't mean we have his seal of approval on everything we think, say, and do. It just doesn't work that way. Let's go to David in Missouri. David, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. Well, I'm probably on the coattails of that last caller because first I want to say thank you for the show. Thank you for what you stand for. Thank you for your service to our country. And this message desperately needs to get out, and it's not unless it's done through people like you and shows like this. So thank you.
Thank you, David.
And, you know, as I was waiting, I had an idea of when you talked about the World Trade Center and patriotism being lost in America, and I see that in the church. I see it kind of more in maybe the emerging church and those types, to where, you know, you can't be a Christian and be patriotic. You can't be a Christian and be a public servant and uphold what the Constitution stands for and everything, because, you know, you're alienating some other people somewhere, yeah. and you don't want to do that. You just want to be open for Christ. And I don't know, you can answer this question for me. I see this form of government and what our founders did upholding the things of God. In fact, guaranteeing that we have that freedom to do that. And it concerns me in the church, because I have even pastors that are you know, against the spread of Christendom, for, you know, lack of better terms, but that's really what it is. Well, yeah, there are some things that happen in history.
David, thank you for you, man. I appreciate the comment. I've got a lot of people on the line, and we're running out of time. So thank you for the call, David. I would say this, folks. This is where the spirit of patriotism comes from for me. I believe that God has a plan, a purpose, and a place for every individual on the face of the earth. This is the place where God put us, and he did so with a reason. And in the same way that I love and honor the home that God gave me, I love and honor my country, because this is the country that God gave me. And therefore, he had a purpose for this nation and for me being in it. And therein lies my patriotism. I love the gift that God gave me in the United States of America. And I think any Christian who thinks that's somehow contrary to Christianity, because it might alienate other people, is frankly a little bit misguided. I can tell you more about that. But let's go to Shelly from Texas. Shelly, welcome.
Hello. I've never spoken with a bishop before.
Well, I'm just E.W. Jackson, Shelly, but thank you. Good to hear from you.
I wanted to comment on your saying that the behavior of homosexuals is disgusting. Their behavior is unnatural, and it is predatory, and it causes immense physical harm, immense emotional harm, and immense spiritual harm. And for that reason, we speak what it is. It is disgustingly, devastatingly predatory and hurtful. And so we who care about people who get lost in that lifestyle are the ones who care about them the most, because we're willing to speak the truth. Don't take that route. It would be like if we saw somebody taking arsenic, we would say,
right.
No,
right.
That's not good.
Right.
That's not right. Healthy. Please stop. Let me do whatever I can to warn you about the danger that you're stepping into and the destruction.
And you wouldn't be saying that out of hatred for that person. You'd be saying it out of love and concern for them. Shelly, thanks for the call. Before I go to the next call, folks, I just read a story from NBC now. This is not from a conservative magazine. From NBC, says that Europe is experiencing a surge in chemsex parties, where people spend days getting high on drugs and having sex with scores of partners, and it's refueling an HIV epidemic among gay men in European towns and cities, doctors say. I'm quoting them. Said despite much higher risk of contracting the virus that causes AIDS, as well as other sexually transmitted infections, users search online hookup apps like Grindr for tags such as high and horny or party and play to find others wanting drug heightened and often anonymous and unprotected sex. And it says HIV is spreading rapidly among men who have sex with men, leading to concentrated epidemics in hard to reach groups. NBC News, not some left-wing, I mean, not some right-wing publication that you could dismiss. NBC News, making exactly the point that Shelley just made. Let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome.
How you doing, Bishop?
Doing great, John. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm in South Mississippi. I listen to AFR, might as well say 24/7.
Good. Good.
And since you've been on here, I listen to it every day.
Well, thank you,
I have
John.
Yet to hear anything that I don't agree with. Especially what you've been talking about today about the homosexuality. People will tell you that it's hate speech. It's not. If you didn't love them, you wouldn't say it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's love speech, isn't it? Not hate speech. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I'm a Christian myself. In fact, unofficially, I take up the collection.
Hey, listen. Okay. Well, look.
I have not been told to do that, but they called me to do it.
Okay, but, brother. Listen, I'm running out of time. Please call me again a little earlier so you and I can talk a little longer. I appreciate that. I'm not sure where you were going with that, but I'd love to hear the rest of it. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome. You got about a minute.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Okay, quickly, there's an airline where One World is their motto, and I'm not sure which one it was because I tried to Google it and I didn't see it. But anyway, but I was just going to say that the millennial generation, I always thought, how would anyone fall for the 666 thing because, you know, it's so obvious, but they've been schooled in the whole global One World thing,
yep.
So it just goes right along with it.
I couldn't agree
that's
with you
it.
More, Lynn. I think that's the subtle game that's being played right now. I mean, and folks, I have to tell you, I just thought it was weird because we all know the history of the Freedom Tower, and to me, the statement that it makes about America not bowing down to terrorists. But you would never know that when you visit the Freedom Tower. You would never know that it came out of pain and suffering and courage and the determination to fight back. And the only thing you see there is One World. I mean, it was kind of bizarre to me. Well, you know what? I think we're out of time now. And folks, yeah, we are out of time. So, look, thank you all for praying and listening. And thank you all for the compliments. I really do appreciate it. I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend. Go to church and just acknowledge to everybody that you're blessed and highly favored. And remember this, we Americans who maybe are disgusted with this One World nonsense, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.